All right. Looks like we are finally live. The very first podcast of 2019 for the Xbox 2. How's everybody doing in chat? I'm one of your hosts, Rand L. Thor 19, man with the million. And with me, as usual, the one and only, the legend, Jez Corden of Windows Central. What's going on, buddy?
Hi, friendo. Pretty good, man.
And doing pretty good. How, you know, we haven't talked in a, well, we talk all the time in DMs, but we haven't spoke. Well, actually, we spoke the other day when we did the podcast with the Iron Lord. So I guess that's not true either. Man, how was your holiday? Christmas, New Year's? Did you enjoy the time? You know, with the family and the girlfriend.
Man, it was hard work, man. That's what my girlfriend's family take Christmas really seriously, and you know, there's lots of visits and yeah. You know. And then by the time it was time to relax, I was had to go back to work.
Yeah. Go back to work, writing those articles for Windows Central, getting them clicks. Right?
Planning 2019 strategies for most of the work.
Using that clickbait to draw in people, you know?
Oh, no, I'm not a YouTuber, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Only YouTubers use clickbait. Never writers of articles on websites. Well, did you get anything cool for Christmas? I gotta ask.
Did I get anything cool? My girlfriend knitted me some Xbox socks.
Get out of here, really? She knitted you? Like, grabbed some threads, grabbed the thread and needle, and knitted you some Xbox socks?
Green, white and green Xbox socks, and even made packaging for them. That looked really professional, and I was like, wow.
She's a keeper, man. She's a keeper. You need to keep her. Next thing you know, she'll be stitching you up an Xbox onesie.
She need a lot of thread for that.
Did you not tweet out pictures? I see like an Xbox dude in cake batter. They're like, no pics, didn't happen. And you need to tweet out a picture of those socks. I didn't see anything. Did you not share those wonderful creation?
I haven't shared them yet. I'll post a picture on Twitter later.
All right, Xbox socks. You know, if Microsoft Marketing, who I know listens to this podcast, maybe you guys should think about getting some Xbox socks. You know, you got the onesie.
Microsoft does make Xbox socks.
Really? I don't see any socks on their clothing apparel line.
I own some. I think they sell them through the physical Microsoft shop. I got them from Redmond, Microsoft headquarters.
Yeah. So, like, that pretty much it? You didn't get anything special? Just well, I know socks are special, but anything other than that?
I'm too old for Christmas, man.
Too old for Christmas.
Old for Christmas.
Yeah, just I know.
Fun gifts. Cheese. My girlfriend's mom got me some special cheeses. That's it.
That's it. Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, my friend, my best friend from England got me Octopath Traveler for Nintendo Switch. I'm going to be playing that when I go.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You just like me. You have all three consoles now.
Yes. We are team
yes.
Agnostic. Team neutral.
Although I have team neutral. I have the X, I have the Pro, and I have the Nintendo Switch. You have the X, you have the PlayStation Slim, a PS4 Slim.
Oh, I got a Pro.
Oh, you got a Pro as well. All right, we're basically one and the same, man. All right.
What graphics card you got?
I have a 1080.
Oh, wow. You beat me there.
You got a
1060 mobile.
Yeah, and I only use it to edit videos. But, you know, it does render a nice 4K video pretty fast. Usually takes around 20 to 25 minutes when I do upload videos in 4K. Now,
well, aren't you a badass?
Yeah. So, I know you know what I got for Christmas because I talked a little bit about it on the podcast on Sunday. Well, you know what? It's not really – nobody bought it for me. I decided to get it for myself, right? I picked up an LG OLED B8.
Oh, man. YouTube millions.
Yeah, you know, the YouTube millions, yeah. After talking to a couple people at Xbox who own, like, the B7s, I have a buddy I play with all the time who owns a C7, and after spending some time talking to dealer, he's like, yo, like, you play so many games, you need to see what these games are like on a godly OLED, right? So I'm like, you know what? And I was thinking about it, like, and I had a I had a Samsung KU6300 that I bought for like $400 in 2016. And, you know, it's nice, 40-inch. And I was like, you know what? I kept on thinking about it. My buddy Magic said, get it. My buddy Keith said, get it. And dealer's like, yo, get this thing. Get the B8. It was on sale for $1,600, 55-inch. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it because we got a whole bunch of games coming out real soon. Resident Evil 2, Kingdom Hearts 3, Division 2, Anthem, right? All these great games. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get a brand new TV. So it came, Jez, right? And I swear, when I unboxed this thing, I thought it was going to break the screen. The screen is thin. The iPhone I just picked up is like wider and thicker than the OLED screen, right? I thought it was going to break this thing. Yeah.
That's scary.
It was, because like I needed two people to carry it. And my dad was like, and I didn't really trust my dad. I'm like, dad, I'm like, be careful with this thing. Like, it's, you know, like, you know, I don't want you to break, you know, and I hooked it up and oh my God, Jez, it's so beautiful. Like, honestly, like, words cannot describe the godliness I now see.
I thought you didn't care about resolution.
I don't. Okay. Here's the thing. I don't. But now I kind of do because, okay. So I was running through some games. I loaded up Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and my God, with HDR on, true HDR, that game looked so incredible. Sea of Thieves, even Sea of Thieves. I was stunned at the picture quality, the image quality, and how HDR just, like, you look in the ocean and you see all these different blues and greens. You're looking at the sunset and it's just like all these different reds and oranges that you couldn't see before, and everything pops, right? And then I dealer had me load up Batman Arkham Knight, which is a game that's not updated, that is a 900p. Right, so a 900p game that's upscaled to 4K because of the, you know, the TV. I'm got 55 inches, and it looked like ass. It looked like ass. Like, I could see the shimmering and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this looks bad. I don't know.
It's almost as if I was right all along. A resolution is the master race.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm just, even PUBG. PUBG looks so much better. PUBG looks ridiculous.
Did you have a 4K display before?
Yes, I did, but this is OLED, baby. This is also, it's also an extra 15 inches. I went from 40 to 55. So, I mean, I used it every single day, you know, to play video games. You know, I figured, why not, you know? And it's pretty much only the big thing I'm going to buy, you know? So it's just like, Jez, I can't really describe how awesome the, like, you need this thing. You need it.
I can't afford it, mate. But I do, like, that's the thing about 4K. You can't write about how good 4K is. You can't write about how good HDR is. You can't really show it in screenshots. You can't even really show it on video because YouTube squashes it down and all that stuff. You just have to see it for yourself to know.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the TV matters too. Like, you know, yeah, the picture looked great on my Samsung 4K, but it looks like even way better on this LG OLED. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost night and day, the differences.
Well, I've got one of those cheap 4K. The most cheapest HDR 4K set you can get, but thing is, I can't fit any bigger than 43 inches in my room, really.
That's, yeah, and you know what's weird? Because Cake Batter, he says the same thing. Is like, I said too far to own anything less than 65 inches, so I can't afford 60. This, like, the difference between the 55 and the 65. So 55 was on sale for $1,600. The 65 was like $2,700. It was like $1,000 more for just an extra 10 inches. I was at that point, I was like, man, no, you know, like, that's way too much. And, but finally, I get to experience HDR because the Samsung I had before had an 8-bit panel that did fake HDR. So I just turned it off. But now I actually have proper HDR 10. And oh my, the differences are clear as day, man. Like, it's, I don't know. It's amazing. Like, I can't wait to delve into Resident Evil and all these other games that I've, you know, coming up and, you know, going through some of the stuff in the backlog. It's, and then not only that, but like movies, right? Like,
you'd be able to see, like, in Resident Evil, you'd be able to see, like, the chunks of bone inside a severed limb glistening in the moonlight.
Yes.
In 100 nits brightness. 1,000 nits brightness, sorry.
And then I did get a little bit in trouble when I said I upgraded because I went from Android to iPhone.
You didn't upgrade.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. I didn't really use the Android that much. It didn't, meant nothing to me. So I guess I could have, you know, I guess I could have stayed with Android and got someone else. But I was like, nah, let's try iPhone this time. And people, you want to talk about console war? You want to talk about PlayStation versus Xbox versus Nintendo? This has nothing on the comments I was getting about Android and iPhone, which Matt Piscatella, the MPD analyst, says it's nothing compared to the sneaker wars. Apparently, like Nike versus Reebok is utterly insane. And like the console war is just like a funny aside, like between, you know, the consoles. It's just like I don't know, man. People love their stuff, man. I don't really, I don't care. Like people, because you weren't the first person to say you downgraded. Like my buddy Zalker is just like, oh, you downgraded. And I'm like, and it was just like, I posted it and I get all these people coming in like, iPhone blows, Rand. What are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, man.
So many people just, you know, I want to give you my opinion on why you chose the wrong thing.
It's oh God, there's a psychological term for it where like, if you pick something that someone else doesn't like, you are attacking their ego. And it's a psychological phenomenon where some people like, they're so insecure that they have to get like all riled up.
Yeah.
Like me, for example, you picked the wrong phone, man.
I mean, but the thing is, like, I don't have an attachment. I could go to. I didn't have an attachment to Android because I never bought anything on the Android store, right? I haven't bought anything on the iPhone store, the App Store. So I'm not. I don't care. Like, I had an Android phone. I barely used the phone, and I'm like, whatever. I'm gonna get an iPhone because I got a good deal on it. Like, I don't care. It's meaningless to me. I'm not attached to the stupid electronic device. You know? Hey,
electronic devices are important, bro.
Yeah. And this phone will do exactly what I need it to do. You know, it was funny cause they were like, oh, you can get an Apple Watch for $5 too with this. And I'm like, do I need an Apple Watch though? Like, I was like, no. And I told them, no, I don't want no Apple Watch.
Yeah, I almost bought the because I got a Samsung Galaxy Note, right? I like it. It's a pretty good phone. And I was thinking, like, shall I get even deeper into the ecosystem and get a Samsung Galaxy watch? Because they do the watches too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, I don't need this watch for £300. I don't need it. You know? But sometimes you just, the consumer, you know, the consumer inside just takes over and you end up buying random stuff.
Well, that's right. That is true. Like, did I need the OLED TV? No, I didn't need it. Do I need a new iPhone? No, I didn't. It was just like one of those things where it was just like, you know what? Why not treat myself, right? Like, why not at least get something now where, like, I don't need to get a new TV until, you know, a few years from now, right? Wait, same thing with the phone.
For you, because you're a YouTube millionaire now.
Yeah, you. I wish. I wish I was a YouTube. I wish I was like PewDiePie or whatever. Like, PewDiePie. You know. Yeah. I mean, there's some money, but it's not like great by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, see, there's some people like Spider-Man says that's still an L, Rand. You know. Face wants to know if I tried God of War on my OLED yet. Not yet. I haven't loaded up my PlayStation and I haven't changed the settings for that input yet. So I haven't, well, you know, PlayStation, like, I don't really plan on turning it on until Days Gone comes out in April.
Days Gone in April? I thought it was
yeah. No, got delayed. Got delayed. They were smart. They were like, look at all these games coming out in February. Let's move to a different day. And
dude,
they're like,
February's packed.
It is packed. It is packed.
Even without those going, it's still really packed.
But I might turn on my PlayStation soon. One of my buddies is, he's kind of wants me to play through Bloodborne and kind of like wants to play
I bought Bloodborne, the game of the year edition, I think. It was really cheap on the PlayStation sale. PlayStation sale was really good. Like, it had God of War for like £25.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? Didn't that only just come out? Yeah. Good sale. So I pretty much picked up all the, you know, the highest rated PlayStation games and stuck them in the backlog. I still haven't finished The Last of Us yet, which is depressing.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in the games played thing, but like, I mean, yeah, same thing. When the PlayStation has their store sales, I look for the exclusives. Like, I bought Persona 5, and I think it was on sale for $20. I bought the Yakuza games when they were cheap, the Gravity Rush games when they were cheap. I own, like, Last Guard. I own a bunch of PlayStation games I haven't really gotten through yet, but I've gotten through the main ones. Like, I went through the Uncharted games. I went through Last of Us, God of War, Spider-Man, and stuff. Until Dawn, Order 1886. I do want to play the Ratchet and Clank game. That game looks really cool, but I'll get to them at some point. There's just so much stuff. There's just so many games coming out. It's hard to go back and play something else. You know, it's just like, and I know people are going to be like, well, all you do is play PUBG. And it's just like, yeah, but I play PUBG.
That's the thing though. It's like when you've got like a base multiplayer game and that's like your go-to multiplayer game, it's different from your single player games. I feel like when you're playing a single-player story-based game, it's more like you're more involved, you're thinking about it more. It's more of a commitment to just jumping on, I don't know, an online game with your friends and, you know, smashing out a few kills. Do you know what I mean? It's more meditative.
Well, the thing is, it's true. And you know, my friends do all like, oh, PUBG? And it's like, yeah, but for the most part, it's because there's no games out. Like all the new, like as soon as Resident Evil comes out, it's no more PUBG. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like I'll be playing Resident Evil and then I'll be playing Kingdom Hearts and then it'll just be one thing right into the next and I won't have time to play PUBG. But that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of how I'm
so ready for Resident Evil.
Yeah, Faith says I should give Horizon Zero Dawn another chance. I probably will. I wasn't in an open world mood, but you know, after, you know, Red Dead and Assassin's Creed, it's like, hey, like, I think I might want to try out Horizon Zero Dawn because the game did look phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So before we, you know, start the show proper, if you guys would, you know, hit that like button already if you're enjoying the content. You know, I see we have like 326 people in there. Smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. And share this out on Twitter. Appreciate that. And what are we going to be talking about today? Well,
there's a lot.
There's a lot. We're going to go through Xbox in 2019, the games that are coming out, give our, you know, predictions on how well they're going to do, and just talk about certain things that we might think Xbox will do this year, kind of maybe a prediction thing. We'll talk about that. Bungie and Activision had this, they had a divorce, and Bungie got to keep the kid.
Wow, what an analogy.
I mean, it's true. It's true, right? So we'll talk about that, and, you know, there's a call. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because Microsoft started buying studios, but everyone's just like, Phil, make the call. Pick up that green phone. Make the call over to Bungie headquarters and be like,
yeah. The bat phone, but an Xbox phone.
It's like, hey, you want to come back to Microsoft? So we'll talk about that and the possibility, which is zero, but still I feel we need to mention, talk about that. Division, like, kind of big news. Like, Epic Games is really freaking stepping it up in competition with Steam. It's kind of getting insane. We'll also talk a little bit about the rumors, you know, because I know a lot of people, you know, find the channel and are new to the podcast or whatever. And Jez will just lay out like, hey, these are the current things we know about Xbox for next gen. kind of in one place. Gears Tactics, kind of confirmed for Xbox One and then not confirmed. Well, I'll talk about that. Of course, you guys can chat away, give your own topics that we might pick. And yeah, so let's get into the show proper. Thank you guys for watching here on YouTube Live. And if you're checking the show out later on iTunes and Google Play or anywhere else, we appreciate you. Hope you enjoy it. 2 weeks away, Jez. I know you played some games.
I did.
But if it's Fallout 76, please keep it short. We don't want to chase anybody away just yet.
Fallout 76. I'm not going to talk any more about it. I can't get enough of it, man. I'm getting near to the end of the story, which is turned into sort of murder mystery, government conspiracy, corporate corruption sort of overarching thing. I was really impressed, actually, by the way, that a character from Fallout 1 is actually makes an appearance, well, via holotype. But it's like the first time he's been given a voice. I won't spoil who it is if there's any hardcore Fallout people in the game. But I just thought it was a nice touch, you know, to get some further context and stuff like that. But yeah, more Fallout 76, you know, working through the bugs and stuff like that. I just want to get through to the end of it so I can move on to Resident Evil when that comes out. Yes. Other than that, I've just been playing, like, because I was so busy, I've just been playing games that I can jump on and off quickly. I did play through loads more of The Last of Us. I've just got to, no spoilers, but I just got to the university.
You know, oh, yes, I know exactly where you're at, yes.
Yeah, so I just got to the university. I've been working through that when I can get, like, peace and quiet. When I don't have peace and quiet, I've been playing Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch,
mm-hmm.
World of Warcraft. I deleted the Blizzard launcher when I was angry about them shutting down Hero. I mean, we're gonna talk about the whole Activision thing later, but I deleted the Battle.net launcher when I was mad about them shutting down Heroes of Storm Esports, but then installed it again a few weeks later. Well, a few days later. Got back on that Heroes of Storm train. What else have we been playing? Yeah, just the usual. I often just go back to games that I just really enjoy. Like, I'm playing Frostpunk again because Frostpunk added an endless mode to its.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Frostpunk has this endless mode now, which is really fun, really, really hard on normal difficulty. God, I'm not sure, man. I was playing a bunch of those sort of survival-y type games because it. You know, it's winter, you know.
Yeah, it's winter.
Play winter, you wanna, games when it's cold.
So basically, like me, you didn't really play that much. You basically went back to Fallout, tried out some other games.
Yeah, just the multiplayer games that I always play, Overwatch. Yeah.
Well, there was nothing new that really came out. I mean, same thing. I played PUBG a lot. You know, I went back and did some stuff in Assassin's Creed and marveled at how the game looked on the OLED. I thought
I would be, like, spending a lot of time in Ashen and Below, but I just haven't.
Ashen's good. I really enjoyed Ashen because of the co-op. And my buddy who I played Ashen with wants me to play Bloodborne on the PlayStation, and he wants to play it with me in co-op because I guess you can kind of co-op similarly to how you can on Ashen. So I was like, yeah, maybe we'll do that. I also played Absolver, which just launched on Xbox Pass.
I just downloaded that. I've slapped that in the backlog too. Was that any good?
It's good. It's just really short. I beat the campaign in 3 hours.
Oh really? Is it more of a multiplayer game?
That's the thing. So it's like it's basically the whole campaign is like a tutorial for the real game, which is the PvP. You got like 1v1. You have 3v3s. It's a fighting game. It's a very unique fighting game. Reminds me a lot of For Honor. I mean, it's definitely like not like Street Fighter or anything like that. And Axel asked in chat, is Absolver an easy 1000? No, you got to grind in that game. I think it's like an 80 hour completion. Ooh. I did enjoy it, but man, it's so short. Like I went through the campaign, which you can play in co-op or with other people. And it was just, it was over before it began, I guess. It was just like, like, okay, I'm done. I went online and I won like my first three matches, kicked those dudes' asses, and then I got my ass kicked. And it's kind of fun, but it was like, all right, well, I didn't buy the game, right? Because I have Game Pass. And this is like, the Game Pass is great because it's like, well, I didn't spend $30 on Absolver. I played it for 6 hours and I'm never going to play it again. I was like, all right, cool, thanks. I love Game Pass for that. Yeah, you know, Game Pass had a pretty solid year, Jez, you know, like, and it seems like it's getting better. Speaking of that, and I wanted to kind of compare the two really quickly, because I didn't make this video because I didn't know how to frame it well, right? So you saw PlayStation drop a whole bunch of info, right?
Which info are we referring to?
Well, first, shout out to Michael Johnson for the super chat. He says, for the love of God, Rand, play Bloodborne. It's the best game of the generation. Hell, I'll call up with you. I know people tell me to play Bloodborne all the time. I might be able to get to it. Ton of games. But so PlayStation, and I know we are an Xbox podcast, just the name of the show, and we talk about everything. But and I wanted to bring this up in relation to Xbox because I find it funny. So they announced that they sold 91.6 PlayStations, right? Life to date. At CES, which is a lot, right?
That's a lot.
That's a ton, right? It's their third best selling system ever. It just passed the PlayStation 3. It's gonna pass PlayStation 1 next year sometime. Obviously, I don't think it'll touch the PlayStation 2's 155 million. Doing extremely well. But other than that, they also said, "Hey, Spider-Man sold 9 million copies in 2.5 months, Jez." So. Like exclusive sell consoles and exclusive, you know, good, great exclusives, you know, they marketed properly, sell a ton of copies. No surprise there. And then they kind of, I know it's not a shot at Microsoft, but they were like, oh, we have 90 million PSN users, monthly PSN users. And I was like, wow, 90 million PS. That's usually like a Microsoft metric. Microsoft loves talking about MAUs. Right? Which I think the last time they said anything was 58 million, I believe. Yeah. Like, okay, PlayStation's really, I mean, they're number one, so no surprise. But the funny thing was the next day, I don't know if you saw this, they put out an article on Xbox Newswire where it was like Xbox had a banner year. Did you see this?
Yes. I didn't read it though, but I saw that they posted something about it.
So they had a banner year.
Marketing things, because it's like, who cares?
Well, the funny thing is, it's like, so the article talked about how Game Pass grew and evolved, right? It talked about how Mixer grew. It talked about, you know, the games that they released, but like more in like how many players they had. You know, not any sale. Well, we know Microsoft isn't going to release any sales figures or whatever. But it was just like a stark contrast between the two companies. One just dropping straight facts. Here's you know, how many systems we sold. Here's how many games we've sold.
Anytime Microsoft puts spins on everything.
No, I'm not. Well, they do. I'm just. It just highlights Microsoft's more because of the comparison to PlayStation. Like. Mm. PlayStation says one thing the day before, and then Microsoft can't say anything about their sales because they're not as good. So it's like, what can they say? It's like, okay, well, we can talk about Game Pass, which is great, and I love Game Pass. And we can talk about how many users we had in the first week of Sea of Thieves. Cool. But like... It's almost, I don't know, in comparison, it makes Xbox look worse than it really is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I get what you mean. That's why I don't read them, because they're a bit depressing, you know? It's kind of like, first of all, you can talk about monthly active users. We have no idea how they measure that. We've talked about that in a previous show. We have no idea how they measure a monthly active user. Is it like someone who's logged on in the last 6 months, the last 5 days? They don't release that information. As such, the metric is kind of useless, right? So I don't really pay attention to that. because we don't have hard information about what that means, you know. As such, it's like you say, it's a bit sad when they have to draw these, that they do the comparisons when it comes to PlayStation, because you can say to someone, well, Game Pass is a better business model than Spider-Man. I mean, you could, like, I'm not saying it is, by the way. I'm just saying, like, you could, there are arguments to be made that Game Pass increases engagement, blah, 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 which increases upsell and other services, blah, 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 which has better margins than funding a full-blown game, blah, 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 blah. You could make those business case arguments. But nobody reading that Xbox Wire post really cares about that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, if Xbox Wire is supposed to be for fans, then I'm not sure what use MAUs and all that stuff is. If it's supposed
well,
to be...
MAU, I mean, MAU, monthly active user. I mean, that's just obviously month to month.
Yeah, I know. But
I mean,
I'm
like...
saying, like...
I know for a fact when you use the Xbox app, you are counted as monthly active user. So you don't even have to turn on your Xbox. You just got to open up that app and you're counted as a user. I would assume if you open up the app on your iPhone, you're counted. But I would also assume that's the same thing for PlayStation. You know, you turn on your PlayStation, your PlayStation 3, you access the app on the website or whatever, any of the other things, I would imagine those also count as well. I don't think you need to. I'm pretty sure you don't need to make a purchase to be considered a user. But anyways, I wanted to make a video, but I didn't, like, know how to present, because the Xbox, like, banner year thing was just, like, it's so weird. It's like, they say they have a banner year, but, like, when you talk about Game Pass and stuff, and I just was like, maybe I'll just save this for the podcast and me and Jez can talk about it. But, yeah, so, like, moving on from that, dude, 2019, Jez, like, we are really getting, it's 2 weeks away from the start of it. Are you starting to, like, sweat how you guys are going to be covering games at Windows Central with the absolute vast dearth of titles that are releasing quickly?
I've already given up, actually, and I'll tell you why. It's because we've got a massive company conference at the start of February. So that's going to reduce the amount of staff I've got by a huge amount. And it's kind of like, well, I'm not going to be able to cover everything, so I'm not even going to try. It's going to be pretty hard to keep up to scratch with everything. I've got plans for Crackdown, Metro, and Resident Evil, but...
Oh, yes, Metro.
Oh, man. Fitting in Far Cry, I don't know if that's going to...
So, yeah, I honestly think these first 3 months, January, February, March, are more packed than September, October, November were.
Yeah, they kind of are.
And they actually might have better games. And I know a lot of people were like, what? You know, but you think about, like, what came out last year that really, like, turned people's heads. It's like Red Dead Redemption 2, which there is this weird, like, undercurrent recently that's like, by the way, did you know Red Dead Redemption 2 is the biggest pile of garbage ever to come out in the history of garbage? Right?
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. There's tons because of the way the controls are. Oh, tons of people. Like, my timeline is filled with people that hate on Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, filled to the brim. Yeah, right? Which, yeah, you're entitled to your opinion. If you don't like Red Dead Redemption 2, I mean, go right ahead. Like, I'm not gonna say anything. But it's this weird, I don't know, I noticed, like, a movement. Suddenly, like, one person doesn't like Red Dead, and then, like, the rest of the people don't like Red Dead.
It was like that with Witcher, though. You still get these people say, oh, Witcher had terrible combat, man. And it's like, nah, it didn't, though. Didn't have terrible combat.
So other than that, though, like...
off in The Witcher. Ergo, it didn't have terrible combat.
Other than that, though, like, the only other, like, really solid game that came out... Like, Forza Horizon 4 is always solid. The racing game. And I would say it's Spider-Man. But, like, I look at this.
Hey, you're missing Game of the Year 2018, man.
Nobody cares about Fallout 76 besides you. And then I look at, like, this upcoming 3 months, and it's like Resident Evil 2, right? Kingdom Hearts 3, right? Metro. I know Far Cry is not going to really do much for a lot of people. Anthem, Devil May Cry 5, Division 2, Sekiro. Like, there seems to be more high-quality titles rather than just like one big one or two big ones, right? Like I don't know how the hell I'm going to play all these games. Like I want to play all of them. The only one, you know what I mean? Like I am going to play Resident Evil and Kingdom Hearts and Far Cry and Crackdown and Metro and Anthem and like everything. And it's just like, I don't know how I'm going to find the time to do all of that, let alone the money to do all
but
of
you,
that.
You're going to have to admit some, right? If you're going to admit some, what you seriously can find time to play all of those.
That's the thing. I don't know if I can.
I know I can't.
I don't know if I can. I mean, maybe I'll have to. And I guess like if I had to pick ones to get rid of, I guess Far Cry New Dawn would be one that maybe is on the back burner because I want to see how Crackdown. I want to see what 5 years in development. Need to see what happened with Crackdown. I do love Crackdown 1. Got to play it. Metro, playing that day one. I love Metro. If one game does get thrown aside, it's definitely Far Cry. And that's a shame because I love Far Cry 5 and I love the Far Cry franchise. You know, so it's just
something like you could pick up during a down sort of period. I've got to play Metro, Resident Evil, and probably Anthem as well. Crackdown.
Okay. Now I want to talk a little bit here about Forza Horizon 4 because I recall a tweet that happened over the holidays we didn't get to talk about. It was from Mike Ybarra. Well, Mike Ybarra had a whole bunch of tweets that made a whole bunch of people mad, but this one's about Forza Horizon 4. He said, remember he said something along the lines of like, how come Forza Horizon 4 isn't up for more awards for Game of the Year? And I want to ask you, why do you think that is? Because I have an answer to the question, or at least why I think so. So, but I'm going to ask you, like, why do you think a lot of reviewers out there why does Forza Horizon 4 not get the credit that, you know, a lot of people think it deserves in the end of the year discussions?
It's a racing game.
It's a racing game. Short and sweet, right? It's just a racing game.
It doesn't create a sort of... You don't get a personal attachment to a racing game because there's no characters. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, the way the human brain works... Like, for example, I've spoken to you before about us doing the podcast on camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the human brain works is that people engage better with faces, right? You can't engage with a car the same way you can engage with someone's face. So until Forza has characters and stuff, it's not going to really get that sort of recognition that it probably does deserve. In the same way, like, they could have the FIFA, the next FIFA could be the best football game ever made.
Ever made.
But it's a football game, you know? And yeah, it's got the real life footballers in, but it's still a football game, you know? It's not like there's a story, there's no drama or narrative or anything like that.
See, so Axel1324 says he disagrees because Gran Turismo won Game of the Year back in the PS1 days, which...
Oh, well, that was the PS1 days.
I was going to say, like, narrative-heavy games really didn't exist back then, but yeah,
How do you make a narrative... I mean, I engaged with games back then, like Final Fantasy VII. Honestly, to this day, I don't think I've really been more moved by a story. And maybe it's part of it is because I was so young as well. I was like 11 or something, maybe. And also, I had no spoilers. I had no idea what was going on with the game. It was all new to me. You know, I don't think Final Fantasy VII had such a huge impact on me, even though it was like terrible graphics and blocky characters, but things were different back then, you know? I don't know.
See, I agree with you.
Maybe it is. I mean, I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying, like, it's human nature, you know?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you that the reason Forza doesn't get its just desserts, even though it's an amazing franchise and it's highly rated, like 92 on Metacritic, just 2 points below Game of the Year God of War, right? it doesn't get its just rewards because there is no emotional attachment to the game, unlike God of War or Red Dead or Assassin's Creed or any of those other games that were nominated. There is that sense, and trust me, I fight it too, because I also think like that. It's just like, well, Forza is just a racing game after all. I'm not, and it's weird because, like, I know there's a lot of craftsmanship that goes into making a racing game, and if making racing games were easy, everybody would make great racing games. We know not everybody can. We've seen Ubisoft try with The Crew, and those games are horrible, right? We've seen recent Need for Speeds, and those games are bad. So we know it takes a great studio to make these great games, and not, you know, making racing games isn't some super easy thing.
The truth is, it isn't fair, you know, and that is the truth. You know, I mean, we did our game end of the year Game Awards too, and I don't think we gave Forza. I don't think we gave Forza. Thinking about it, we had a big discussion amongst the team about what game should win what. We gave Sea of Thieves 1 for art direction, and you know, and then you had like your obvious stuff like Red Dead, obviously winning that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but like, so it really comes down to it's just a racing game. Even though
it's not fair. It's not.
It isn't really fair. But it has no story. There are no characters, so people don't get that attachment like they do to Kratos or to Arthur Morgan or to Cassandra or to Marcus or to Master Chief or anybody else in any of these other games.
That's honestly where Forza needs to go next. It needs to have a narrative. That's where it needs to go next.
That's a little tricky. That's a trick. Need for Speed's tried to do that. They've tried to have narratives in their games, and it's just horrible. Like, so, like, I don't know. That'd be extremely difficult to do.
It would, but I think that's where it has to go, right? Like, if you get the same game year in, year out, and it's just a different setting, yeah, maybe it does sell. Maybe that's all people, racing fans, want, but at the same time, I don't think that's how you grow a franchise. And I think that's why Assassin's Creed, they started breaking out their own formula, going down the RPG route and stuff like that, you know? I think, like, maybe it's time racing games evolve in the same way, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there could be 1,000 reasons why it's a bad idea, you know? But I think something has to be done. I don't know.
I don't know what can be done. I don't know what they can change.
But it's like the whole Oscars argument, right? They always say a movie that wins an Oscar has to be a specific type of movie. It's almost like to win a like FIFA's never going to win a Game of the Year award ever. It's like it has to be a specific type of game to win that award.
That is true. But you know what, briefly, since we mentioned the Mike Ibarra thing, let's just talk about his tweets. Let's just talk about the tweets that really made people...
What, his general tweets?
I mean, he tweets and people get upset. That's just, I don't know. And I'm sure Mike finds it incredibly amusing, you know? But he said, like, he got called out for console warring because of that tweet where he went to a GameStop. And, you know, he had an Xbox t-shirt on, and the cash register person was like, oh, Xbox person, yeah. Oh, I'm a PlayStation person. Mike's like, we all make mistakes, which I thought was funny, right?
I literally just said that to you about the iPhone, right?
Yeah, like, and then, like, you know, it started to get a little more thing, where then you get a little more, like, digging it in there, because somebody, I think it was Alex, said something like, and things that didn't happen, which... Who knows? That whole thing may not have happened, but he said, yeah, you're right. I should have told her have fun at E3, which, whew, shots. That's definitely a shot at Sony for pulling out of E3. And, okay, let me ask you this question, though, because I that stuff's funny to me. Like when Sony did the share video back in 2013, it's funny. It was also brilliant, right? When Sony was, you know, talking about 1080p, they were just talking about a competitive advantage they had over, like, I find that stuff more as just marketing. I guess you could argue Ibarra's thing isn't really marketing. It's just kind of like taking a shot at Sony, which they tend to do time to time, but, the interesting thing here is, so you have Mike doing this, but and people are like, you know, like, oh, look at Mike going after her or whatever. Like, yeah, Mike, Xbox forever. Woohoo, right? Like, getting, you know, like, and, but then, like, the week before, Polygon tweets, you know, my Anaconda don't want none if you don't got games, hon.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, it's okay. It's a bad joke because it's an easy joke, right? And people, especially Xbox fans, got so in their feelings on that one. You're like, how could you do this?
Well, the thing is, it's like with Mike, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, he works for Xbox, and Xbox is his baby and stuff. But with Polygon, aren't they supposed to be?
Okay, that's the thing you bring up. Shady says Polygon's supposed to be neutral media site. Mike and Xbox exec, they're not the same thing. Noof Nukem says Polygon's supposed to be impartial.
Bloggers have bias. You know, you get your right wing media outlets, Fox News, and you get your left wing media outlets like CNN, and then they have their bias. And but the thing is, like, people hope that there isn't like bias when it comes to, you know, I think like Fox News doesn't hide what it is, you know, and neither does CNN, I guess, to some degree. But like when you get outlets like the BBC, for example, the BBC is supposed to be non-biased. It's like in their constitution, present both sides of the argument, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like when you get perception of BBC being biased, people get mad. People get mad and they complain to Ofcom, the UK media regulator, you know. So, I don't know, Polygon doesn't present itself as a website that is inherently PlayStation skewed. So I can kind of understand why people might have taken exception with that. But
I don't have a problem with either. Like, I thought the Polygon thing was just, it was dumb because the joke's dumb. Because it's the easiest, like, yeah. Like I don't have a
problem with it. I can just see why people were mad.
But I didn't even have a problem with IGN's whole God of War thing. Remember when they had God of War on the one side and it was like PlayStation and the black image on the right side?
Yeah.
Like I thought that was just funny and tongue in cheek. Like I don't know. Like, maybe
the thing is, they never do that for the other side. You see them doing that for Xbox?
Does Xbox have anything where they could do for that though?
Well, I guess not. But did they do it back in the day?
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember.
Fallout 3 didn't have any DLC on PS3 and stuff like that.
I think they might have. I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
That is a good question. Does anybody know? I know the PS3 was the laughing stock of the games media for quite some time during, you know, the early PS3 era. A lot of websites did give them crap. It's been like what, a long time, you know, and since then. So I'm not really sure. I don't know. Like I don't really get upset about any of this stuff. You know, that's just me though. Other people, you know, they get really upset.
People get upset.
You know what I looked at more at the Mike thing about was like, was he goes to a store to buy something and the cashier like interjects her opinion on something. Like, listen, I don't want your opinion on something. You know, like I've gone to GameStop and they're like, you know, I'd be like, oh, I want this for Xbox. And they've said to me, well, why not PlayStation? How about why not shut the fuck up? You know what I mean? I thought it was more that like a topic on that nature. Like, why are you giving your opinion about anything? I'm here to buy a product, and why are you inserting your commentary on it? Maybe this is one of the reasons why GameStop's dying, but like, literally, one of the last times I went to GameStop, and I was like, I want, forget what game it was. And they were like, why not on PlayStation? Like, does it matter? Like, because I want it on Xbox. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I can't even remember the last time I went to a game shop to buy something.
Yeah, so it's like, I thought Mike was more like, kind of like, you know, talking about like, oh, like these people sticking their nose, like who, like, oh, Xbox person? Yeah, what of it? You know, like, and it was, you know, whatever, either way, like, I know that was like a big thing, so, I know people, I guess people, like, kind of expect, well, the thing is, like, a lot of people assume, like, say now, like, the Xbox execs delve into the console war, you know, with the resolution lists and stuff.
It sets a bad example, and it encourages the toxic elements, you know. The toxic elements, that's the topic of so many... you know, it's funny, you know. Polygon, how many articles does Polygon write about toxic gamers, blah, 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 toxic gamers?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that is the one thing I can't stand from them, the entitled gamer bullshit. Like...
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, Xbox doesn't have enough games.
Look, you know? I don't read anything from IGN. I don't read anything from Polygon. I don't read anything from any of these websites because I think they're irrelevant. They don't really... Like, and some might give me crap here, but the one guy who I will read stuff from is Jason Schreier. Because Jason Schreier does really good investigative reporting on things. So I like when he does things like that. Like... They don't do any of that stuff at IGN. They don't do any of that stuff at Polygon.
IGN Unfiltered. That's like the definition of investigation.
You mean like the podcast, like the podcast?
IGN Unfiltered with Ryan McCaffrey.
Yeah, so you're talking about the podcast.
That's Podcast Unlocked.
So, IGN but Unfiltered is something else. But IGN Unfiltered is something with Ryan McCaffrey, right?
Yes.
And it's in podcast form?
It's a video form.
Okay, so I mean that I'm not when I mean IGN, I mean the website.
Oh, you mean the written articles?
Yeah, like right. There's nothing of like that's the thing. Like, if these sites went down tomorrow, nothing of value would be lost. You know what I mean? That's just my take on it, and it's not me saying like you should get your news and your opinions from me as a YouTuber. I just don't. I look at that stuff, and I just most of the time it's garbage. Right? So, I don't know. I stopped going to the big websites and, you know, I like getting information, you know, and opinions from people I like Easy Allies, you know, the people who did game trailers. They're really cool. Like, yeah, I watch, you know, Kind of Funny. I like Greg Miller. I even like, you know, I forget his name off the top of my head. Colin Moriarty. Yeah, I'll watch Jimquisition because I like Jim Sterling, even though I don't always agree with everything they say. I really like SkillUp. You know, I have my YouTubers that I go to for information on how they break things down, and I rarely ever go to a website, a gaming website, to get my news. I might source them because people, for whatever reason, if it's on IGN, it means it's more true or something, right? But yeah, I'm not one for really gaming websites and stuff. But
well, thanks bunch, Ryan.
I mean, I read Windows Central. I'm just saying. And speaking of Windows Central, you guys had an interesting article this past week about the Xbox Razer. I figure we'll cover that real quickly.
The Razer turret? You mean that thing?
Razer turret, leaked. Yes. The keyboard. Yes, yes. I know you always get happy. You always get happy when something...
Almost a year ago. A year ago I leaked that.
So they unveiled it at CES, right? This keyboard looks kind of cool. It's got a magnetic strip for the... You know, the mouse. I still don't understand why you'd want to use keyboard and mouse on the Xbox anyways. At that point, why not just play it on the PC? I guess the answer to that question would be like, well, some people, Rand, don't have their PCs hooked up to their OLEDs. Understandable. Having an OLED, I would agree. Like, okay, yeah, you know, like the OLEDs are pretty sweet, and if you don't have that as your monitor, yeah, okay. But either way, the big news out of this isn't that it's coming, which we've known, isn't that it's $250, which is in line with the pricing of the rest of their products.
Is it?
It's that they kind of leaked some titles getting keyboard and mouse support. Mainly Gears Tactics was listed on the website as supported by you know, keyboard and mouse. But the thing is, okay, Gears Tactics is only a PC exclusive right now, hasn't been announced for Xbox yet. Now, I don't think Razer just made that stuff up. They were sent the information by Xbox through a PR company, probably detailing all the games they're going to use it. And they realized their mistake.
Probably been testing it themselves, man.
Yeah, they realized their mistake and realized, uh-oh, we just told the world that Gears Tactics is coming to Xbox. Now, I've heard for a long time, since it was revealed at E3, don't worry, Rand, it's coming to Xbox. Jazz, do you have something to say about Gears Tactics?
I mean, I've heard the same. I've heard that it's coming to Xbox.
Yeah.
Multiple people.
I've heard from multiple people as well that Gears is coming to Xbox. And this thing was just one of the, it was just, oh, oops, we didn't look over the information carefully enough. So I know there's a lot of fans out there.
I asked Xbox PR for a statement, and they didn't even reply, which usually says to me, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even bother replying. Yeah, so that pretty much means it's more than likely going to be true. Which, no surprise, really. I just do wonder if the game's also going to support regular controller, which I don't see why it wouldn't, considering it's an XCOM game, right? Those use controllers, and hell, Mutant Year Zero, which is an XCOM-like game, just released on the Xbox in December. I guess I'm more curious if it's going to launch day and date with the PC version and when it's even coming out. Like, have they given a year yet? I mean, we know Gears 5 is 2019, but we don't know anything about Gears Tactics, right? Have they set a date yet? I would assume all three of these games are coming out this year, right? The Gears 5, Gears Tactics, and Gears Pop, right, Jez?
I assume so. I don't think that they haven't committed to anything hard, have they?
Yeah, well, the only one I've seen that has a date is, and maybe I'm not saying I've seen everything, but the only one that I've seen that has a date is Gears 5. And Sam Telbert in chat says, here's the thing I don't get. Why would they bother to act all secretive about Gears Tactics coming to Xbox? It seems like a no-brainer. I don't understand it either, Sam.
From what I've heard, it's to do with wanting to have PC-centric messaging for the game. I don't know how true that is, but I don't get it either, because it's not like XCOM is the hardcore. When I think of XCOM, I don't think hardcore PC game, even though it is a strategy game, but it's not like you need a mouse and keyboard to play it, because it's bloody turn-based. You could play it with a touchscreen and it'd handle fine, because it's turn-based. You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why they want to go with that way. It might just be a case of because they don't want people to complain that the Xbox version's coming later or something, because maybe the team, they've splash damage, right? Maybe they just don't have the people to make both versions of the game for launch. But isn't that the whole point of UWP? You know, I don't get it either fully. Yeah. Maybe it's just like an experiment. You know, Microsoft experiments all the time, and Gears Tactics isn't going to be on the... It's not going to be on Steam, right? So...
I don't know. I mean, not at launch, like, obviously. But, I mean, eventually down the road, I mean... All the other Gears games haven't, so no. Yeah,
I originally heard Halo Wars 2 was coming to Steam, but it never did.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just because Halo Wars 1, because they released Halo Wars 1 on Steam, right? And maybe it didn't perform that well, and they just thought, let's not bother with Halo Wars 2.
It's going to be interesting, like, if they actually let keyboard and mouse games only on Xbox. Like, how do you message that? How do you make sure someone doesn't buy it digitally and then, like, complain when they, you know, can't play it or whatever, or don't want to play it? I do wonder if that's a thing. But it wasn't only just Gears Tactics. It was also some listings for a couple other games, like PUBG, for instance. Like, PUBG had support for keyboard and mouse, which hasn't been announced. And this concerns me a little bit. And this is coming from a person who knows I know what Microsoft is doing with keyboard and mouse. They're leaving it up for the developer. A lot of the concerns of, like, I don't want to get matched up with, you know, controller versus, you know, like, keyboard and mouse or whatever. Like, a lot of those fears are unfounded, right? But, like, for instance, Fortnite, you can use your keyboard and mouse on right now. It detects your input. If you're playing on keyboard and mouse, it matches you with keyboard and mouse. If you're playing with a controller, it matches you with people with controller. The thing with PUBG is that there's no crossplay with the PC yet. So if you're introducing the keyboard and mouse thing to PUBG, are you only going to be matchmaking Xbox players who use keyboard and mouse with other Xbox players who use keyboard and mouse, which seems like an incredibly small pool of people to match up against? Or are you actually going to integrate them in the matchmaking pool with regular players? And I know it's up to the developers and all that stuff, but unless they open up crossplay to PC and those Xbox players with those keyboards and mouse actually starts matchmaking with the PC people, I'd be a little bit concerned about PUBG. Do you see what I'm saying, Jez?
I see completely what you're saying, but it's like, again, it's all experimentation. It's like, A, scenario A is basically that it doesn't have crossplay, right? Presumably, maybe it will have crossplay. Because like you say, the amount of people playing Xbox with mouse and keyboard is going to be minuscule. It's going to be bloody tiny. So if they have a separate pool for mouse and keyboard on Xbox, those matchmaking times are going to be long because PUBG matches require 100 people.
Yep, 100 people.
So I would assume that if it really is true, and I suppose this is why they wanted to say, no, it's not coming, is probably because they're still working out all the details.
But the thing is, like, we know it. Like, it's not... The thing is, Razer didn't just make this stuff up. They were more than likely sent this information, right? We both can agree on that?
Yes.
So somebody told them at Xbox or in a PR agency that PUBG is going to get supported by keyboard and mouse, and they added it. So maybe they just haven't announced the crossplay with PC yet, which if they do, fine. That's great, because then I won't have to worry about guys with PC, keyboard and mouse on Xbox matching up with me, because they can just match up with the PC. So I guess my fears, I guess we'll just have to hold back on my fears until that point. So
they're not going to put keyboard and mouse against controllers. No way.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, they do that in Sea of Thieves. Every single day on Twitter, I see people complaining about, or people adding, like, you know, Phil Spencer and saying, hey, you know, like, Sea of Thieves, like, there's a very much an advantage of playing on PC versus console. And that, they, like, you can opt out of crossplay and gears in certain playlists and stuff. But, like, crossplay is mandatory, or at least, like, you don't know if you're playing against a PC person or an Xbox person.
You do, from how bloody fast that turns. Well, it's not problem.
Right, I understand that. But, like, there's no option for you to turn that off.
No, there
which I think play, there yeah. needs to be. Like, there needs to be an option in all these games that if there's a keyboard and mouse thing versus Xbox, you should be able to press a button, click a thing, and be like, I don't want to be matched against keyboard and mouse people. I don't want to be matched against PC people or Xbox keyboard and mouse. I mean, there is an argument to be made. Hey, I pay for Xbox Live. Why am I getting matched up with people who don't?
Yep, I agree with that too.
Like, and I understand, like, the reasoning is, well, there's probably not enough people on PC to have their own, you know, full servers and stuff. Fine, I get that. But you know what? Too bad, so sad. You know what? Maybe if you had been supporting the PC for the last 10 years instead of fucking shit up, you wouldn't have this problem. I don't know. Am I wrong, Jez?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it's a tough one because PC is not subsidized. Xbox Live Gold is the reason why Xbox consoles can be so cheap, because they're getting you on the upsell, and that's why it's a successful business. If they weren't selling that to you, it wouldn't be anywhere near as successful, you know. Whereas like PC, you're paying a premium upfront cost for that stuff, and it's not subsidized, which is why it's more expensive. But you can't really say that to a regular consumer, because you're asking them to sort of, you know, you're asking them to sort of take an interest in the whole business aspects of running a console business. And that's just like, well, so it is, that's the thing though. Nobody's really tried anything like this before at scale. And Microsoft sort of dipping their toes into uncharted waters, so to speak. And like, yeah, people are complaining about Sea of Thieves cross play and stuff like that. But I've heard Rare have come back to me and basically said, I've spoke to Rare about this, people at Rare, and they've come back to me and said, well, our telemetry says that keyboard and mouse players only have a 2% advantage.
2% advantage.
Yeah, seriously, that figure was given to me. Now, that figure was given to me before they unlocked the weapons from... because when Sea of Thieves first came out, when you aim down sights with a mouse, it sort of locked how fast you could turn. They removed that. So you can do 360 no-scopes on Sea of Thieves on PC now, I do believe. You know, you can turn up your sensitivity as high as you like. Use a million DPI mouse and do 1080 no-scopes from the top of a crow's nest if you're so inclined. I've definitely been killed by PC players while playing Sea of Thieves, and it's annoying, you know.
Yeah.
And like when you're playing Call of Duty or Overwatch too, you can tell when you're playing Call of Duty and there's someone in the match with like 50 kills, it's because they're using the keyboard and mouse, or using one of those Zim things, XIM keyboard and mouse converters, and that, you know, they're running around turning really quick without sacrificing aiming accuracy, and they're just going around, you know, playing whack-a-mole. You know, when you can like spin around someone really quick with a mouse, it's such a huge advantage. People don't realize, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And shout out to Steven Sullivan for the super chat. He says, hey man, I'm the guy on Twitter asking about Banjo for Smash. Thanks a bunch. Yeah, there's this one guy who constantly DMs me about Smash because I said I had heard someone told me that it's coming to
You heard that?
Yeah, I did.
I heard that too.
I did. I did hear from a very, very reliable person that Smash is coming, or Banjo is coming to Smash.
Sometimes I wonder if we got the same sources.
I doubt it.
I don't know, but I heard that too. I didn't really talk about it because I don't like Banjo.
I don't really care about Banjo either. But when it does get announced, I'm sure, you know, people will be like, "Whoa, crazy!" But I don't think it really means Banjo's being a. I don't think they're making another one. I don't think so. But yeah, you know, I just, there is just something to be like, I understand why PC, Xbox, PC doesn't pay for stuff, right? Because you can't, because there's other options on PC like Steam and Epic, right? So you can't charge them. And they tried that once before with Games for Windows Live, and it was the biggest disaster next to the Windows phone, you know?
You have to go there, didn't you?
I did have to go there. And, you know, they're using Xbox to prop up PC and their PC efforts. And it's like, you have a very tough battle in front of you now with Epic. Because, like, Epic comes in day one, and they're like, they're throwing around money like it's going out of style. They're getting all these games to ditch Steam in favor of their split. You know, Division 2 leaving, you know, Ubisoft games leaving Steam to go to Division 2. And here's Microsoft with their own store being like, hello, guys. Can we get anybody to come to our store?
That voice.
Yeah, and that voice. Because it's like, dude, you've been doing this for years, presumably. Not doing it well at all. And a new competitor comes in and just takes everything. Like,
takes your lunch.
And it's would Ubisoft consider putting Division 2 off of Steam onto Xbox? And I wonder, like, what they're going to have to do to convince devs to put games on Windows 10. Is it, we'll give you 95-5 split? Because at some point, it's like, Steam has the users, right? They can go to devs and be like, listen, it's 70-30, but you can get up to, what, 80-20? It depends on how much money you make. But we have so many users per month. Epic's trying to cut in and like, we'll give you 88-12, and we're brand new, so we don't really have the users, but we're also going
to
pay
you. We do have the users, though, because you have to launch the store to play Fortnite now.
Yeah, but that's Fortnite, though. I understand they can say we have this many people playing Fortnite, but that doesn't necessarily mean those people are going to be interested in buying games on the Epic store, right? So they offer a better split in 88-11, right? And then they're paying those for those games to stop going to Steam. It's almost like Xbox versus PlayStation to a certain degree, right? One paying to not to have it on the other. And I just see like Microsoft is like in the corner being like, why won't anybody love me?
Well, I'll tell you why nobody loves Microsoft. It's because no devs want to upend their development ecosystem to use UWP.
Yeah.
It's too much hard work for them to completely change the way they work to include UWP and stuff like that in their workflow. You know, it's just not going to happen. It's never going to happen. UWP is never going to happen. I don't know why Microsoft's still trying to go ahead with it. And people at Windows Central, like who I work with, they're still convinced UWP is going to be a thing one day. And I'm just like, nope, it's never going to be a thing.
So how big is Division 2 ditching Steam for Epic Games?
I read, man, I wish I could remember where I read this, but I read an interesting take about this. I can't remember if it was on Twitter or on a website or something like that. And if someone is in chat knows where they read this, but I saw an interesting take about this. And someone said that the reason Ubisoft is forsaking Steam is more of a strategic thing than anything else. And what they want to do is they want to upset, they want to attack Steam and like get them to, you know, compete better on the split and stuff like that. And the whole point of Ubisoft doing that isn't so much about, you know, helping Epic or getting a good deal from Epic. It's more about trying to put pressure on Steam to change their ways, because they're not going to get anywhere near as much distribution on the Epic Game Store. I don't care how many users Fortnite has. It's like you say, it's an unproven store still.
Right.
So it's, yeah, that's what, and I agree with that take, that it's about trying to convince Steam to be a bit more generous, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. And PC is an open platform, right? So I did have a conversation with one of my buddies in party who was upset that this is happening. He plays on PC and he's just like, I want everything on Steam. He's upset and he's like, PC gamers are upset that they have to, it's like, so PC gamers have made fun of console gamers for forever because it's a walled garden here on Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo. Like, you have one place to buy and it's from them. And yeah, now and PC gamers are like, we only want it on Steam.
Yeah, we only want one choice now.
Yeah. It's funny
because like as a console gamer, I don't care. I got tons of games on Steam, you know. I got all my Paradox games are on Steam, you know. Paradox and my Bays, you know, Stellaris and, you know, Europa Universalis and all these like weird strategy games that I play. They're all on Steam.
But indeed.
I'm not loyal to Steam in any sense of the word. I don't care what launcher I have to launch first to play a game I want to play. I don't care about Steam achievements. The Steam community is not great, so I don't care about that either. You know, it's I mean, what exactly are people? What are you losing from not having to use Steam, other than some slight inconvenience of having to launch a second launcher? I mean, I completely understand. Like, for example, imagine if it wasn't Epic Games, Rand. Imagine if it was Facebook. Imagine if Facebook was money-hatting Ubisoft to put games on its Facebook launcher.
Ugh.
Now, yeah, horrible thought, right? Now, yeah. that would piss me off because I don't want anything to do with Facebook anywhere near my computer. I think Facebook's a scummy company. I think Zuckerberg's a scumbag. And I think Facebook is, you know, a privacy nightmare. I wouldn't want Facebook anywhere near my PC gaming. So if people are pissed off about that, I'd understand. But what's Epic Games done to piss people off? You know, aside from like maybe curate the best engine in the world, the most versatile, the most powerful engine, or one of the most powerful engines, what have they actually done that's bad? You know, I ain't a fan of Tim Sweeney because I believe he's unfairly represented Windows 10 and he's attacked UWP unfairly. I ain't a fan of Tim Sweeney. But at the same time, he's not exactly done anything particularly scummy. I'm not saying he won't someday, but like, you know, what, at least like I'd be more mad at Valve for like, you know, not making Half-Life 3.
Hmm.
I can afford it. they should make it for the fans and stuff like that. And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Steam's gonna have some really big competition.
I mean, this is a good thing, right? Because maybe now Steam will be like, oh shit, now we need exclusive content. Let's hit that Half-Life 3 emergency button, finally.
Or what if Epic Games is on the phone right now with Bungie being like, hey, I hear you need a publisher or a place to launch your next game, huh?
Destiny
Or
3, Epic Games.
what if Steam, what if Mark Sweeney's on the phone being like, hey, Sony, want to come to PC? I'll give you a 99 to 1% split. You put your games on my store. Sony, Mike.
I tell you one thing, right? The one interesting thing for me about Epic Games is that Tim Sweeney has basically created a platform where his whole platform is openness for the people, for the public, blah blah blah. The second Epic Games slips and does something scummy, and they will, because money corrupts everyone, so they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that they're doing all this based off the success of Fortnite. They've taken the money they made with Fortnite and they're like, we're going to attack Steam. We're going to attack Unity because there was something that went down yesterday with Unity.
Oh
And
yeah, that whole
like,
Unity thing.
yeah,
That
they're
was
doing all
super
this stuff.
opportunistic of
It's
them.
weird. But I mentioned Bungie. Big news of the day, of the week, of the year so far. Bungie and Activision are splitting up. Bungie gets the kid. People didn't see this coming, even though we are getting close to the 10-year relationship deal that they original publishing deal they originally made back before Destiny 1 came out, right?
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, I mean they made it right before Destiny 1 came out in 2014. I don't know, like I think they cut that deal in 2010. So I'm not sure when the
Wow.
deal starts. Was it 2010? Was it 2011? Was it when the first game shipped? Either way, it was a 10-year deal, if you recall. But yesterday, the news came out. Jason Schreier, always on kind of like teasing something was happening. They put out a release saying that, they're splitting from Activision and that Bungie's retaining the rights to the franchise and they're going to be publishing it, self-publishing it in the future. And everybody was just like, yeah, all right, Activision's gone. Because for the longest time, a lot of fans of Destiny have kind of like looked at some of the issues Destiny's had as Activision's fault, like the monetization, the Eververse store, and all that different types of stuff. They see like Activision as this evil influence, right? Which something's going on at Activision, Jez. Like, am I wrong in saying that? Like, I see them splitting up with Bungie, and then I see what's going on with Blizzard, and I see them losing two CFOs. I see like the president of Blizzard leaving after forever,
The CEO of Blizzard.
the CEO, and I'm just like, dude, something's going down at Activision, and it doesn't seem like it's gonna be good. What's your take on all this stuff?
It's worrying, man. I know morale isn't very good at Blizzard right now, put it that way. And you had like Jason Schreier has done a huge amount of reporting on what's going on there, saying that like you had like Activision CFOs sitting in on Blizzard creative meetings saying, well, why don't you do it this way? It'll make more money, you know? And that you don't want finance sitting in on a creative meeting. That's not what you want. If you're an artist or something, you don't want to hear what a you don't want to hear what a lawyer or a businessman has to say, you know? But I agree with you. There is something fundamental is changing at Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, sorry. And while I don't really care what that means for the Activision side of things, I don't care what that means for Call of Duty. Couldn't care less. I don't care what that means for like, I mean, what else does Activision even make? You know, Candy Crush, and they've got like a bunch of those classic remasters like Spyro and stuff. That's great for fans. And apparently, like the Spyro remake was actually really well done.
Yeah, they
Which
have Call of
surprised
Duty.
me. That's their Call of Duty, you know, and they're publishing Sekiro, which honestly is weird.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's weird.
Yeah, I know.
And then you've got Blizzard, who is pretty much the only part of Activision that I like, and the only part of Activision that a lot of people like. And if the thing is, like, Overwatch is stagnated, you could argue, where, like, they haven't really done much except dump new heroes in the game. And to be fair, the heroes have been great, you know, but I think people want a bit more than heroes, you know, at this point. You know, maybe they want a sequel? Maybe they want... I mean, how much can you keep driving that business model where, like, all you're doing is selling cosmetics for a load of heroes? You know, how long can you drive that business model? And yeah, it works for some games, like League of Legends, I suppose, mm-hmm. or something like that. But it's clearly not working for Overwatch, which has had its lunch eaten by Fortnite, arguably, at least in the short term. So
true.
And then you've got Heroes of the Storm, which, again, coming back to League of Legends and Dota, Heroes of the Storm just didn't resonate with the hardcore players who weren't able to influence other people to get into it. I mean, Heroes of Storm still has a passionate fan base, and it's still like, it's still really fast to get into a match. It's not like the game's dead. It's not like you have to wait 10 minutes to get a game. It's still like you hit Q and then boom, you're pretty much in a game super, super quick. But like Heroes of Storm, it's not like it's dead, but it clearly isn't pushing the numbers that Activision wants. And the thing about Activision is they're not happy with a win. It feels like they want every single game to be on Call of Duty's level.
They want all the money.
Yeah, and it's not just money they want. They want margins. They want money without spending money. Their MO is, how little can we spend to make the most amount of money possible? And I was like surprised how well Black Ops 4 did, considering it had no campaign, considering a lot of the maps were recycled maps from previous Black Ops games, or three of them were. I was surprised how well it did. And
I think it's because of Blackout, the Battle Royale mode. They jumped on Battle Royale at the right time when it was hot.
Yeah.
I think if it was just the multiplayer and the zombies, I don't think it does as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Black Ops 4 was bad either. I mean, it was fun. I played it quite a bit. And Call of Duty always tends to be fun. And I've been away from Call of Duty for years. I came back just for that, for the Blackout mode, ironically, to see if I could finally get into a Battle Royale, and I couldn't. But I was still surprised by, like, how, you know, I haven't really played Call of Duty properly since, God, Black Ops 1? I haven't played Call of Duty properly since Black Ops 1. So I thought, like, okay, maybe like, the game would be significantly different in all this time, and it wasn't really. You know, you got like there's classes with Overwatch like, you know, supers and stuff like that. That was interesting, a bit, but that's pretty much the only thing that was different. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying like, but that works for Call of Duty, but Activision wants it to work for all of their games. They want to make the most money by spending the least money. Blizzard just hasn't done that historically. Historically, Blizzard has made games that were high quality, that were launched when they were ready, you know, and they were delayed if they weren't ready. And then you've got like World of Warcraft probably having its worst expansion ever in terms of like quality and bugs and stuff like that, because it had like the shortest beta period that I can remember. And it just feels like, but it's easy, you know, and Destiny 2 vanilla was a mess too. And it's easy, Rand. It is easy to blame Activision for all that stuff.
It is.
It's easy to say, well, Destiny 2 sucked at launch because of Activision. And you can say, well, Battle for Azeroth sucked because of Activision. And, you know, Overwatch is stagnant because of Activision not letting them do anything different and, you know, and stuff like that. You can say all these things, but I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see how Destiny evolves without the cash flow of a big publisher if Bungie doesn't get a new one. You know,
yeah.
if it's significantly better and super awesome, then you can say like, yeah, maybe it was Activision's fault. But I have to say, Rand, I'm not sure it's going to be that much different. And I could be wrong.
So first off, shout out to Stefan D. King for the super chat. Appreciate that. And here's the thing. Like, Activision's the big bad ghost, right? Bungie has, and the Destiny community have been able to blame most of the shortcomings on Destiny onto Activision itself. Because why not? They're an easy target to hate. They're the evil empire. You know, we've seen how they treat their games. They only do Call of Duty. It's the same thing all the time. Blah 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 blah. But this is, I know a lot of the Destiny community is really happy, but sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for, right? Because I think a lot of the bad decisions, even though they were on Activision, I think they were also on Bungie, right? And now without Activision shielding them from criticism, if they do something wrong moving forward, it's on Bungie. So that is going to be big for them. Like, no longer can they be like, well, oh, the microtransactions and the DLC schedules and all this other stuff. Like, there's nobody else to blame now. Yep. The only person to blame is Bungie, right? Now, my buddy Gopher, who watched my video yesterday, along with everybody else, who I think that Bungie video has like 7,000 views, which I really appreciate. He got on me because I didn't mention the injection of cash from NetEase that maybe likely made this more of them being able to break free of Activision, because they injected they gave them $100 million and also a seat on the board of directors at Bungie. So that probably helped, but I believe you said on Twitter that's kind of chump change for them. You don't think it really means much, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Destiny 3 be free to play going forward. Like, the next Destiny, I would not. I think a lot of companies are looking at the Fortnite business model. How do you get more players to play your game? Right. I think the industry
in Destiny's case, it wouldn't be Fortnite, would it? It'd be Warframe.
Yeah, it'd be Warframe, which is free to play. So I would not be surprised to see Destiny 3 be free to play, with a lot of different, like, you know, you can buy things, you can buy weapons, but you can also get them. I could see them taking that route. I mean, Warframe's incredibly successful. Fortnite's incredibly successful. And the success of especially Fortnite, I think, is going to have huge impact on a lot of these big publishers' business. We've already seen Activision and EA admit that the success of Fortnite has impacted their business, right? Why bother picking up Battlefield 5 when you can just play Fortnite for free, right? So
especially if you're a parent looking what to buy a kid for Christmas, and all the kid cares about is Fortnite, which is free, why would you bother getting them Battlefield? It'd actually be a bad gift, because the kid would be like, oh, I don't really want to play this. I just want to play Fortnite. And my mom went out and bought this game for $60, and I don't even want to play it. Could actually be a bad thing.
Yeah, so I was shocked that they broke up. I mean, Bungie and Microsoft broke up, and this is the second publisher. I just, some of this, though, is weird, because it's like, Bungie's like, we're leaving Microsoft because we didn't want to do Halo, and we want to control our own destiny, and we don't want to work on one game forever. And it's like, okay, I applaud that. You want to make your own, carve your own destiny, no pun intended. You want to make as much money as possible. I get it, right? And then the first person you partner with is a company worse than Microsoft, with Activision?
Worst company.
It's like, okay.
I personally think Activision's scummier than EA.
Okay, but... right. But we're talking like 2007 Microsoft, and they're pretty bad back then too, right? So it's like, so you then go with Activision. Interesting. And then you do this deal, and now, like, you know, like, you know, the like the Darth Vader gif from like Empire Strikes Back, like the deal's been altered, pray I don't alter it further, you know. And everybody, and according to Jason Schreier, there's been tension since day one. They back out of this deal and it's like, okay, and I understand, like, I know Gaming Forte, who's in chat, is a huge Destiny fan, and he's really excited. I talked to Ash and Luca last night, and she's really excited. A lot of Destiny fans are happy because they feel like Bungie is finally going to be able to make what they want without the constraints and the demands of the publisher, right? They're the artist. The artist needs to create, and they just happen to take money from the money man. But the money man only cares about money. Like, he wants his return on investment, right? So he's like, hey, when are you going to create that art for me? You know, I'm giving you all this money, you know, times and demands. But Destiny, I mean, Bungie, they're going to find it might be a tough road, you know?
You think they got return on their investment?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, Activision probably didn't. That's the only reason I can see why they would give up this early, considering of all the money that they spent on Destiny to basically lose everything and let Bungie walk away with the IP. Like, think of the millions of dollars Activision has poured into that game and that franchise to make it what it is. And it's just gone, right? At least with like Halo, you could argue Microsoft kept the IP and they kept it going. So they didn't really lose much outside of the developer, but Activision lost it all. They lost it all. And I don't know. I kind of think like that must have been really bad for Activision if they're just like, we're walking away from this, you know, getting rid of the dust on our hands and like, all right, whatever. We're just going to write off that money as sunk costs. We need to refocus on our IPs, which they don't really have any, you know, like I saw.
Maybe Guitar Hero is going to make a massive comeback.
I saw some posts on like Twitter from a former Raven employee, you know, Raven, who used to be,
oh yeah, the
they used to be they still are a developer for Activision. They made Singularity, but then after Singularity they got put on like Call of Duty help or Call of Duty detail.
By the way, I just want to interject, Singularity is awesome. Fucking brilliant.
It is. Singularity is great. If you guys haven't played that game, play it. But he was saying that, like, well, maybe, you know, because he said to Activision, like, well, maybe you should take some of these studios and make something new. And the guy at Activision told him, was like, well, that's what Bungie's for. So, like, the last 8 years, they've been just, okay, Call of Duty, right? You have Treyarch, you have Infinity Ward, you have Sledgehammer. But then you also have, like, Raven and a couple other studios that strictly do DLCs for those games. You have High Moon Studios and Vicarious Visions, who strictly did like DLC and stuff for Destiny, and they don't make any, they haven't made any new IP, and the only new IP that has been made is the stuff from Blizzard, which, as we just detailed, like, Activision's not happy with Blizzard. Like, something's going on. And I did see someone ask up in chat, although it was Gunstar75, what are the odds that Bungie rejoins Microsoft?
0.0000.
So Jez just laid it out for you. I know a lot of people would be nostalgic for, you know, the prodigal son to come back home. Yeah, but that ain't happening. I don't think so. I don't think it's happening. I know a lot of people want it to happen because they wouldn't, you know, Microsoft is looking for studios. We all know this. Bungie is a great studio, despite my dissatisfaction with Destiny. But I don't think there's any chance.
No.
At all.
And like, so, I have heard that Phil is super close to the leadership of Bungie. And I have heard that, you know, they have a good relationship. And they're both based in Redmond, aren't they? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle. You know, they have a good relationship between the studios, between the companies. You know, Bungie obviously uses a lot of Microsoft tech in their stuff, and you know, they have a good working relationship. But I think that the era of them being anything more than like what they are now is pretty much done.
Yeah, and a lot of the guys who made Halo are working at 343 at Microsoft right now anyways. The Bungie of 2019 is not the same of the Bungie that left Microsoft back in 2007, 2009. So, yeah, there's that. Xbox in 2019, Jez.
Yes.
So what do we know about this year for Xbox? We know they have 4 exclusive games, and I use exclusive as in the sense that it's coming to Windows Store and the PC. Yes. Yes, guys, I know Microsoft's games also come to PC, right? We have Crackdown 3, which launches on February 15th. We have Battletoads. We have Gears 5, and we have Ori. So let's talk about Crackdown here for a minute, Jez. What are you expecting from Crackdown? What do you think it's going to land Metacritic-wise? Do you think people will be happy with what they get after this tumultuous 5-year developmental cycle and numerous delays?
I think Crackdown will be extremely lucky if they get 7.
I agree.
If they hit 7 on Metacritic, they'll be lucky, I think. Which, you know, is not to say it'll be a terrible game and people won't enjoy it. I just know that it's not going to resonate with critics. I know that people are ready to bash it, and they're not going to take it for what it is. And people have high expectations of Microsoft. You know, I just know it's not going to do that well at review. I just know it. Other than that, I think the game will be decent still. I think, like, the cloud tech will be interesting to try out for those who, you know, give it a bash. I played it myself. It was interesting. It's not going to pull me away from Overwatch. It's not going to pull me away from any of the other multiplayer games that I play, at least in the state that I played it in. Now, they have had... When did I play it? November, I think. They've had a few months to polish what I played and take feedback, and I gave them a lot of feedback on what I think they should do to improve it. But again, it's kind of like... from what I saw, there wasn't that much to it. So I'll be shocked if it gets higher than 70 on Metacritic. You know, I'd love to be wrong, but I'm not going to be. Other than that, we've got the Gears stuff for 2019.
Yes.
We know that I've heard that this streaming console that Brad Sams leaked is going to be announced as early as this month.
The streaming console?
No, not the streaming console. The discless console.
Okay, I was going to say the streaming console. I thought you said we were talking on Sunday, the Iron Lawrence podcast. You didn't even know if it was real.
Yeah. I don't know if that's real, but the discless console I've heard was supposed to be announced in January. Plans can change, and they often do change. But I heard that was announced in January. That's going to be announced sometime in January. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Also, Brad Sam said it's going to be released Q1 or Q2 if it gets released. But again, plans can change, and it does seem like a weird console to me. Like, it almost feels like they're just testing to see how well it'll do and how much it resonates with people. And basically, I think they want to gauge the appetite for a discless system, right? They want to gauge the appetite for that sort of, you know, to see if it works or not, if the time's right. So if they do release that, we'll get that this year. Now, do they announce Anaconda and Lockhart this year? That's the interesting question. Do they tease them? Do they do what Scorpio and be like, yeah, we've got this Project Scarlet console range, you know?
Well, first off, shout out to Osman for the super chat. He says, have a great weekend, guys. Thanks for the show. Thank you for the support. Hope everybody's enjoying the show. Make sure you hit that like button. We have like 400 some odd people watching, 157 likes. Get that up to 200. But yeah, I don't know. Like Anaconda Lockhart, which Anaconda being the more powerful Xbox next gen system, Lockhart being the cheaper one, presumably, right? Rumors and spec and all that stuff. If they announce it in E3, right? That's a long way to go until they release in November of the following year. Now, you can make the argument it worked well for the Xbox One X, and sure it did. But I guess the counter argument would be, well, people would just stop buying Xboxes now and just save their money and wait until the new systems come out in the end of the year, right? Or the following year.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if they care. Maybe that. I don't know. Maybe if they know Sony's going to announce it, I think a lot of it might have to do with Sony's plans, because there's still talk that Sony might release the PS5 in March of next year, right? Like early next year. So if that's the case, you would think Microsoft would want people to know that they still have a system coming and it might be more powerful, you know? Although I'm not really sure PS5 is coming early 2020. I still think they're both going to come in November. I don't know. It's a good question, because they already teased next-gen systems at this past E3. Why not tease it again at this year's E3? But I don't know. Do you see them just teasing it again? I mean, Phil Spencer kind of was at CES and teased, you know, xCloud and, like, talked about the relationship with AMD, you know, just... like, yeah, something's coming, you know, but...
I don't think they'll tease it at E3. I think they'll stick to the games. They'll have, hopefully, a lot of good games to show off and get the messaging on the gaming right. And then that, maybe they could do Anaconda at XO19 if they do another one.
That's the thing I would... Like, if you can announce it for the first time, show off the name or something with the fans, not only, like, Xbox, but also PlayStation... like that'd be really cool.
That's bad.
That'd be really cool. But like back to what you said about Gears 5. I said in my video that I think Gears 5 is going to surprise a lot of people with how good it's going to be. Now, yes, I'm being a little positive on this one.
Positivity.
You know, positivity. Yeah. Even though negativity sells on YouTube, I don't really like doing negative stuff. But I think Gears 5 is going to surprise a lot of people. I think it's going to be quite good. And I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of sits in that 89, 90 Metacritic range and people are like, man, they really stepped up their game. Like Gears 5 is, you know, it's a Gears game, but they took some risks. They took some storytelling risks. They took some gameplay risks. And it's going to be, I think it'll surprise a lot of people with how good it is. That's what I'm hoping, at least.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I was disappointed with the lack of risk they took in Gears 4, and I think like that was one of the things people criticized them for. Like I love Gears 5 overall, and it kind of reminded me of The Force Awakens in the sense that it was like they wanted to prove that they were the right studio to handle the franchise, show that they got the formula and stuff like that, like to show that it's even though like they've got a new name, it's still the Gears guys, there's the Gears team. You know?
Yeah.
So I think like. There was an element of that trepidation with the first game, but like you, I think they've already shown in the trailer that they're taking some not liberties, but you know, there seems to be like melee weapons now, like proper melee weapons, and it felt more open. Like there's a whole segment with the vehicles and stuff like that. It was showing like direction, right? And with that whole trailer was about showing something new, something fresh. So I agree. I think like people will be surprised by that game. I've always preferred Gears to Halo, personally.
Yeah.
What?
That's heresy. Halo's way better than Gears.
No.
Yeah.
Halo doesn't have a chainsaw, man. What are you talking?
Yeah, come on. You know it's true.
No, it's not. Halo's like a game for teenagers, man. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But, well, since they removed the flood, anyway. I don't like it since they removed it. But effectively, I think this could be... Gears 5 could be the year that it sort of ascends to that level, personally.
Okay, I mean... I don't think Gears can ever touch Halo, right? I no matter how good this Gears is, I don't think it ever can. I don't think it ever could have the impact that Halo did.
Impact
at one point.
Impact no. And Halo was lightning in a bottle when it came out. It might have the same impact. But I just think like it's gonna ascend to that sort of level of quality and that level of expectation that I think Halo has.
Yeah. So modern we both think, when do we think it's coming out? Here we go with that. We know it's 2019.
Holiday.
Holiday. So October, are they just going to go for the same release date? October, wasn't it like early October for Gears 4?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So you think it's going to be the same thing, early October for Gears 5? I'm pretty sure. Let's find out. Let's go to Google. We'll type in Gears 4 release date. Pretty sure it was October. Like, in fact,
they,
I want to...
They ain't going to compete with Red Dead this year, so...
I want to say it was like October 7th. Oh, it was October 11th. So...
But seriously, what would they even be competing with this year? Like the annual Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm, which is supposedly Modern Warfare 4.
There's no Battlefield this year. No Battlefront this year.
So there, yeah, that's going to be interesting if there's no Battlefront and no Battlefield. There's a Star Wars, potentially a Titanfall 3 and that Star Wars game that Respawn's making.
Both of them in the same year?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying. We're trying... Okay, Watch Dogs 3, Ubisoft. You can mark that one down.
Really? Is that announced?
No.
Are you just guessing?
No.
Are you leaking?
Okay, we need to delete this podcast. well, Watch Dogs 3. Watch Dogs 3.
Okay, Watch Dogs 3.
called Modern Warfare 4. Yeah, well, I'm trying to think who else would have games. Maybe Warner Brothers Montreal's Batman game.
Doom Eternal?
Maybe that's not 2019. I guess also I have heard, and plans can change as everything else, that Death Stranding and Last of Us 2 are scheduled for holiday for Sony.
Oof. Serial?
Yeah. But like plans can change. Apparently they're on the release docket for Sony, but if something goes wrong, they might slip. But yeah, apparently Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding will hit this year.
Yeah.
In the fall, like Death Stranding September, Last of Us 2 November or something like that. We'll see. I'm trying to think. Yeah, there's no Red Dead. There's no Battlefield. Like, is Call of Duty going to go back from its October release to November? Right? I don't really know. There's no Forza this year too, right? So I don't know.
I mean, this usually happens like the start of the year, you're kind of like, well, what could come out? And you don't know. And then by E3, it's like, oh, it's packed again.
See, Sam, so Sam says none of Sony's big three are releasing this year. One of them is for sure releasing. I've heard two of them are. I've heard Death Stranding and Last of Us might be, both are scheduled, but we'll see if it actually ends up that way. But I feel confident one of them is, and I think it's going to be Last of Us 2. I don't know. I don't know with Sony. Like,
better finish the game then.
They don't need, the thing with Sony is they don't need any of their games. They could literally just be like, all right, well, pack everything and put it to 2020. Who knows? Oh, Wolfenstein Youngblood, Plop says. That could be... yeah, it doesn't really seem like there's going to be a lot of fall games. So I guess, you know, Gears can come out in October or whatever. But that's Gears, right? There's also Battletoads, which is... like,
why do you hate Battletoads so
much? It's Battletoads! Who cares about Battletoads?
Wow.
I mean, on the likelihood of Battletoads being good on a scale of like 1 to 10 is 2. And I know people are going to give me crap for that, but who wanted a Battletoads? Who wanted a new one?
Me.
Anyways, when do you think Battletoads is going to come out?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Summer, maybe.
Is Rand a born-in 3D gamer? Excuse me? My first system was an NES. The heck? I got my 900,000 gamer score achievement was finishing doing 30 laps in the endless tunnel in Battletoads. 30 laps, or whatever it was. You do 30 laps in the endless tunnel in Battletoads? I don't think so. I don't think so. So let me see the proof. I got the proof. Boy. I don't know when Battletoads is coming out. I would assume... I would assume summer, maybe? I can't imagine that would be an end-of-the-year game. But who cares about Battletoads? Ori and the Will of the Wisps 2. That's what everybody cares about. That's what I care about. That's what Jez cares about. That's what everybody in this chat cares about is Ori. Because it's going to be... If Last of Us 2 doesn't come out, Ori's going to be Game of the Year. That's right, I said it. Yep. Game of the Year, right there. I don't even need to play it. It's going to be Game of the Year. Unless Last of Us 2 comes out.
Ori's going to be great, right? I played it.
It's going to be amazing.
I played it, man. It is amazing. But it doesn't have chainsaws in it, so...
So what, does that mean it's not going to be good?
It means it's not going to be Game of the Year, because Gears has got chainsaws in it, man.
No, Ori is going to be better than Gears of War. Like,
Only if Ori gets, like, a magical light chainsaw will it be better than Gears.
I got people coming in trolling me. Maka 91 Productions didn't know I had a podcast. Look who it is. Good old Maka, my PUBG buddy, who finally got 1,000 in
Who's better between PUBG? You and Maka at PUBG?
Oh, who's better at PUBG, me or Maka?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even a question. I'm better. You know, like there's a hierarchy when it comes to PUBG, right? It's usually I play with three other people: Maka, Gopher, and Magic. Magic's by far the best. By far the best, right? Magic. By far the best. Then it's Gopher. Then it's me. Then bringing up the rear, because we got to carry him every single game, is Maka 91 Productions.
Oof.
Yeah. No, he's better than me. I'm the worst. I'm surprised they even play with me.
Oh. You
know, I know. I'm number four, you know.
Like, I don't even feel bad now.
Yeah.
Right, if we were like a professional podcast and I had a soundboard, I would hit the... sound effect right now.
So what else do we think is going to happen for Xbox in 2019? Those are the four games.
xCloud.
The xCloud, that's right. There's going to be a beta for that.
Surface Phone, yeah.
What about the xCloud, Dad? How do you see that really panning out?
I think xCloud is going to have a limited US beta. I think it's going to be better than expected, but people will remain skeptical because of the limited nature of the beta.
Okay.
And I think Amazon and Google are going to start positioning their stream service. And by the way, we did hear this week that rumor has it Amazon's doing its own game stream service. No surprises there. And Amazon is arguably better placed than Google because of its retail empire and its Twitch empire, which if it's got any brains whatsoever, it will integrate heavily into its streaming service.
That is
and
true.
Also, I mean, Amazon has the biggest cloud platform in the world, even bigger than Microsoft.
So. I did see an article yesterday, and I think Salty just put out a video about it. It says Amazon developing game streaming service.
Yes.
So you get Amazon, Google, and Microsoft all doing game streaming. Imagine that.
That is the future, man. It's the future. Now, the question is, will Microsoft be the best? That'll depend heavily on how much it costs, I think. It'll come down to... A, it'll come down to, do you get streaming for all of your existing games, or do you have to only get a few of them, pay a subscription, and then you end up with like 12 streaming games because you have to like, developers have to agree into it and opt into it. You know, is there going to be a licensing battle for that, all that stuff? Is Microsoft going to have to compete with Google and Amazon for the right to license their games to their streaming platforms? Are they going to be streaming exclusives?
Ooh.
Like, are Ubisoft's games going to be exclusive to Google's streaming platform? It's going to be a nightmare, man.
It's going to be a nightmare. And do you think Project Cloud will be locked behind a paywall? Because I don't think it'll be free unless it's literally free on Amazon and Google. And then at that point, Microsoft is going to be forced to make it free.
Well, but, it's not going to... I suppose, like, it depends, like, how they're going to do it. Now, you've got to presume that Microsoft has people in Google and Amazon who probably tell them what their plans are. Especially Amazon, I would say. But I would hope that Microsoft prices it competitively in terms of how much you because it's going to cost money. It's going to cost money because
bandwidth isn't free.
Bandwidth costs money. The investment into the server racks costs money. So it's going to cost money. They're not doing this at a charity. They're not doing this to add value to Xbox Live. This is a whole new business proposition. So it's going to cost money in some way. Is it going to be a tier of Game Pass? Possibly.
I could easily see that happening. Like, Game Pass is the future for Microsoft. I can easily see them, hey, you have access to game streaming with your $10 subscription to Game Pass. I can't see them locking it behind gold, though. Gold's too expensive. Because if you're trying to reach mobile players ain't about paying $60 for anything, right? So, and I would also imagine, although you would think those games will also have multiplayer on the phone, that's going to be free for them, too. The only people paying for Xbox Live are going to be people who play on the Xbox consoles, because it'll be free for PC, and it'll be free for anybody that uses xCloud. Am I right, or am I wrong on that?
I agree.
Yeah. I think they'll bundle it with Game Pass. I think because that's the service they're going to want to sell. And they're going to be like, if you're subscribed to Game Pass, you already have it. But it's going to be interesting to see that tech working, like really working, because they said it's coming out this year. And I'm actually kind of cool. I'm excited to actually try it out to see what it's like, to see if this really is the future that everybody says it is, that these three gigantic companies, three of the biggest companies in the world, are like, we're doing it. And it's just like, okay, I hope you guys know what you're doing. Like, is this really the future? Like, it's coming soon. So, E3 2019, though, Jez. Sony's not there. Microsoft is. Will Microsoft take advantage of that fact and announce games that their current studios are working on? Or will they save those announcements for 2020 when the new consoles are launching in that time frame? I guess is what I'm asking you is.
I believe firmly that Microsoft will go balls to the wall this year and they'll go all out. They've got the opportunity to really, really slam home what their investments are this year. And it's not I think the time for being cautious is over. And it's not like basically in the past with things like Scalebound, they had to rely on the whims of second party. They don't have to do that now with their first party studios. Like, so I think like they can totally talk about Ninja Theory, they can totally showcase Wasteland 3, they can totally showcase like all the stuff their new first party studios are working on, maybe even like Fable, hopefully, if indeed it is Fable, you know, we still don't really know for certain. But, you know, I think the time for cautiousness is over. They need to really put on a good show this year. And just because Sony isn't there, the pressure isn't any less for them.
So you say throw caution to the wind and just come out swinging with haymakers.
Yeah, I would argue that the pressure is even higher because people are going to be like, well, what are you doing? You know?
So that's the thing. It's like Sony leaving E3.
All eyes on them.
Yeah, Sony leaving E3 is like put all the pressure on Microsoft. Yeah. It's like, all right, now you're the star of the show. What do you got for us? You know, Sony's not going to be there. So it's like, are you going to play it safe and be like, well, here's Halo Infinite. Here's a gameplay demo for Gears. Here's a gameplay demo for Ori. And that's it. And it's just going to be another bunch of, third party games and another round of studio announcements with Phil getting on there and being like, we bought IO Interactive. We bought, whatever, right? Is it just going to be that again? Or is Microsoft's like, you know, you guys have asked for exclusives because I can pen this PR piece and have Phil read it off. Like, we know you've asked for exclusives for quite some time now, and we invested in first party to do that, blah, 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 and here they are. Boom. When Ninja Theory, please come down the aisle. And here comes the head of Ninja Theory. He introduces his new game. Boom. Here's what Playground Games is working on. Boom. Okay. Boom. Just throw caution to the wind and just convince people that, like, all right, they're not screwing around anymore. And without Sony being there, they can make a case for, like, it's time to jump in on Xbox. Like, maybe not right now, but the future looks incredibly good, right? That's what I hope they're going to do.
Yeah, I want to see this future now. I'm sick of talking about the future. You know, I've been ending articles with "the future is bright" for so long now, for what feels like so long. I'm sick of writing "the future is bright." I want to see what the future is now.
Yes, yeah. I mean, because I actually have a video coming out soon about how I've never been more excited about the future of Xbox, and it's partially about all this stuff. But it's like, exactly, like, I'm sick of telling people that. Like, I think it's time for people to see it. And all they need to see is just those games being announced. Yeah. Right? And so, like, I'm sure there's other people at Microsoft that are like, no, Phil, no, Matt, take more time, get the games right, wait till 2020, Sony's not going to be there. You know, like, just wait till 2020 when the systems are coming out, and then we can nail them with all this stuff. But, I mean, you can make a compelling case for either of them, but I think this is the year, you know? And, like, you know, there are rumors that, you know, Ninja Theory was already working on something before they, you know, that they weren't, like, they shipped Hellblade, but they had already been in working on something, so they could have a game for the launch of 2020, you know? So, you know, Christina, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, you know, they say, I'd honestly rather they wait. And I'm sure some people will be like, some people really like Xbox's approach where the games that they announce are coming out either that year or the next year. They like the immediacy of those games. Unlike Sony's approach where, like, Sony will come out in 2016 and be like, here's The Last of Us.
I honestly prefer Sony's approach because you can fill the waiting in with third party. You know, I feel like you should be able to know what value you're getting out of your platform, because ultimately the value at the moment is the exclusives, right? I mean, yeah, you get a few more pixels with your Xbox One X. You get a few more pixels, but ultimately it's all about them games, right? And you want to know that you're getting the value, and if they don't start talking about those exclusives soon, I don't know, man. The narrative of not having good exclusives is just gonna never go away.
that is definitely true. And Eternal Shaddai, he hit us up with a super chat and says, will we see the companion feature example Dead Rising 3 on our phones by using the xCloud computing for future games to expand more the experience? I don't think so. I think the xCloud will just be for streaming games, right, Chaz? I don't think it'll be for companion. Like you're talking about, like, smart glass, right?
Oh, I think, like, what he's talking about is, like, cloud compute, like more zombies on screen.
Oh, more zombies on screen? Mm.
The thing, Crackdown 3 cloud destruction has been such an uphill struggle for Microsoft. You know, they had to completely rebuild the whole thing from the ground up, like, a year ago. Have we talked about that before?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, but they've had to completely rebuild the cloud stuff from the ground up because of reasons. You know, I interviewed Brian Stone, right, and he's in charge of basically Xbox's science fiction division, where they dream up all this crazy stuff, right? And he said, like, when you're developing a new platform, I'm paraphrasing here, but you can read my interview from a few months ago. But he said something to the effect of, when you're building a new platform on new systems, like, there are so many unforeseen complications that come up that you have to solve, you have to deal with, and these problems, like, they hold up the whole project. You have to, like, go back to the drawing board. You have to figure out ways of overcoming these technical hurdles, and you know. I wouldn't be surprised if the whole experience has soured them to the idea of using cloud compute to build games.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a shame, but it's like, I just, like, it seems like such a far-flung thing right now. And I'd love it, you know. I often I always thought that State of Decay would be the perfect game to showcase the cloud because, you know, they got all the zombies on screen and, you know, in a recent patch in State of Decay, they like quadrupled the size of the zombie hordes that roam around in the late game. And you always have to think, like, what would State of Decay look like with like 1,000 zombies on screen at any one time without lag, you know, what would that look like? And surely Microsoft's the company to make that happen.
You know? Surely, yeah.
But, whether or not we see that in the short term, I think like what they're going to be doing in the short term is just making sure that they've got a strong stable of games, you know, not games that push boundaries or, you know, push the cloud compute thing. I think they're just going to sort of deliver some solid games first. And maybe they'll revisit the cloud stuff again in the future, but I think for Microsoft right now, the cloud compute is fully geared towards streaming more than anything.
Yeah. And let's briefly talk about this Randy Pitchford thing.
Oh my God. That stuff's scary.
Dude, have you just seen the update Kotaku just ran?
Yes.
Do you even want to talk about this? Or should we just be like, yo, this is kind of... best left for that type of stuff, because some of this stuff is gross.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we have to talk about it now. We mentioned it, but basically, what is the main argument? An ex lawyer is alleging that Randy Pitchford, who runs Gearbox, known most
took a secret $12 million bonus.
Yeah,
has a secret underage porn collection?
Yeah, that's what the guy's saying. Now, if they can't prove that, they're going to get done for defamation. You don't make that kind of accusation if it ain't true.
But you can say whatever you want in a lawsuit, though.
Can you really?
Yes.
I mean, can't Randy sue him for defamation if they can't prove it?
No. Like, it'd be one thing if he went out in public and started saying that stuff. This isn't a legal filing. So no. Allegedly. I'm saying you guys should go read the Kotaku article about all this stuff. And Sam Tolbert just says Arts Technia has provided an update. A lot of the info on Kotaku story has been corroborated. Yeah, and that's just what I was reading. But a lot of it's yeah. I don't really want to repeat on here, just that like some weird shit is going down. Randy Pitchford isn't like a saint, like a lot of people.
Nobody thinks he's a saint.
I mean, you
see all the you know stuff about aliens, colonial marines.
I know, I know. Yeah, it's and all not, people wanted was Borderlands 3. You know,
that's all people wanted.
And now it's like you have all this stuff. It's like, oh my Lord. I don't even want to make a video about it, you know?
This is the kind of thing that kills a studio.
Yeah, it does. It certainly does.
I just feel bad for the innocent employees at Gearbox right now. Who are just like, I mean, they're probably fed up of Randy Pitchford creating controversy as it is. This is on a whole nother level.
But Eric Bischoff said that controversy creates cash.
Eric Bischoff. I'm back.
Does controversy create cash, Taz?
I don't know. You're the YouTuber, man. I hate controversy.
I don't deal in controversy or controversy, as you say.
Come on.
What do you mean?
You're the king of controversy.
No, I'm not. I have wholesome quality content on my YouTube channel. That has never once clickbaited a title to get more eyes drawn to it.
I know there's going to be a lot of videos about Randy Pitchford this week.
Yeah, there definitely will be. Just like
I hope to God it's not true, because it's terrible. But like, even if it isn't true, he's going to have that accusation associated with him.
Yeah. Definitely. That stuff's not going to go away, and people are just going to give him crap for it or whatever. And I don't know. Like, it's I don't want to say one thing yet. It's just let's see how this whole thing plays out. But it's never a dull week in the video game industry. You think like, hey, the what is this? The second week of January, right? Second week of January. What's going to happen? Probably a whole boatload of nothing. How about Bungie and Activision splitting up? How about allegedly Randy Pitchford having secret underage porn? Right? Like what is going on? Video game industry, never a dull moment when you talk about all this stuff. And
makes me feel ill, man.
Yeah. Anyways, you want to take a couple questions and then we can get out of here?
Yeah, let's take some questions.
All right, hit us up in the chat with some questions. And, you know, I hope you guys all enjoyed the show.
By the way, I want to give a quick shout out to the Iron Lords podcast, which me and Ran, we guested on there on Sunday. Those guys are hilarious, man. They are hilarious to podcast with.
Yeah.
So, like, check out Iron Lords podcast on YouTubes. That's where they live, right? On the YouTubes.
On the YouTubes, Iron Lords podcast. Great bunch of guys. Lord Cognito. Lord David, Addict. Lord King, Lord Sovereign, and Lord Addict. Great podcast. More people need to watch them. It's really, really awesome. Hit the like button. That helps out a lot. And sub and all that good stuff. So Face wants to know, he says he feels people on the Xbox side forgot the plot about the game consoles. All I hear and see on Twitter is about power. Hasn't PS4 and Switch proved games are more important than power? Well, don't forget the PlayStation made it all about power at the beginning of video.
I hate this argument because you couldn't move through the video game journalism without reading an article about how an Xbox game was 720p and a PlayStation game was 900p, and now like 1440p is a damn lot less than 4K, and you're not allowed to talk about it.
Well, the thing is, if they're equal, nobody would care. It would be all about the games, but it wasn't about the games. At the beginning of this gen, all I saw from publications and PlayStation guys was how more powerful the PlayStation was and how you must be playing in blurry 720p while we're over here playing in 1080p. And let's not
memes
like...
are still there. The memes are still there if you want to go look
let's not, let's not like rewrite history and say that that stuff didn't happen. It did happen. And, you know, it just so happens that the Xbox One X is more powerful than the Pro. So it's like now it's the Xbox turn to say, hey, games run best here. But, you know, if next gen comes and the consoles are pretty equal, I don't know. It's to me, it's like if the consoles are equal, then nobody cares about power. It'll be about the games. With Nintendo, it's never really been about power for Nintendo. It's always been about the games for Nintendo. And they struck gold this gen. They didn't last gen, even though they had great exclusives on the Wii U. Nobody bought the Wii U. They just happened to whatever they're doing with the Switch is working, and they have some great exclusives there. So,
the Switch is it's less about power and more about the form factor, right? And if the Switch wasn't portable, I don't think you'd be doing anywhere near as good as it is.
Yeah, Sony was just leveraging their advantage over Microsoft back in 2013 with the 1080p stuff, and now Microsoft is just leveraging their advantage over Sony with...
Why wouldn't you talk about the fact your console is more powerful? It'd be stupid not to.
Yeah.
It was equally stupid for PlayStation to not talk about it as it is for Xbox to not talk about it. You know? It's a feature worth talking about.
So let's see. Games
are more important than power, no doubt about it. But, you know, power is part of the equation.
Gunstar wants to know, what are yours and Jez's New Year's resolutions?
What are yours, Rand?
I didn't make any.
See, I never
make a New Year's resolution other than, like, lose weight, eat healthy, and that's pretty much it. Like, yeah, I mean, I have a goal for the YouTube channel. Like, I want to continue to provide quality content. You know, I want to step up the game. Last year, I was, I feel like I've become better at actually providing, you know, better content. So I want to continue to improve in that area, like with the channel. But, you know, outside of that, like, you know, I just, you know, typical, like, need to lose weight, need to, you know, like, I don't know. That's pretty much it. Like, I don't really do resolution stuff because I don't know. It's just a new day. Like, people get hot up. Oh, it's a brand new year, new me. And it's still it's just an extra day, you know?
The only time I've ever successfully dieted, I started just randomly dieting. Like, I felt like dieting and I dieted. I lost 200 pounds and, you know, I did that in the summer. So, like, I think if you want to change something, you just change it. You don't need to wait. There's no time like the present, right?
Yes, that is true. That's no time like the present. Let's see. What else we got here?
Oh, no, wait. My New Year's resolution is 1080p.
Oh. 1983 Nick says, hey, Rand, you playing Tekken 7? I do own Tekken 7, but I don't really play it.
You're not really into fighting games, right?
I mean, not in the competitive way. Like, I can't wait for Mortal Kombat 11. Mortal Kombat's my favorite fighting game, and I cannot wait to play that, mainly because I want to see how the story plays out, just like in Injustice. So, I mean, they are enjoyable to me. It's just like, I don't really get a fighting game to be like, all right, we need to battle, right? I just get it to enjoy myself. I get a few hours of entertainment out of it and move on. Let's see. Meryl Films wants to know, what do you guys think about ditching discs in favor of SD cards for next gen? Do I, like, me personally, I don't even use discs now. I'm 100% digital. So it wouldn't matter to me if they switch from disc to SD cards. But I don't think that's going to happen.
There are fundamental security issues with SD cards, I think, that would stop Microsoft from investing in that area. It's an interesting topic, actually, because Blu-ray discs are starting to get maxed out now. Whereas, like, SanDisk and those guys, they're pushing, like, serious space with the with their SD cards. They're getting, like, really big. I don't know. That is an interesting topic. But I think what's more likely to happen than SD cards is just everyone going digital.
Yeah. I think that's more the case. Let's see. Indie Gamer wants to know, did you hear the Odd Tales have run into money trouble and need investment to finish The Last Night? What do you reckon to Microsoft buying Odd Tales? I did see The Last Night ran into financial problems. I'm sure you saw it as well, Jez, right?
We covered that. And yeah. Tim retweeted it. What a dude.
What a dude. So,
a dude. But
I would assume a lot of people have reached out to them to help. I do wonder if
Ryan McCaffrey himself tweeted Phil publicly to help them.
Yeah. Now, you guys remember Jez when No Man's Sky Hello Games, when their studio was flooded and they almost lost everything. I think Sony came in there, or they took help from Sony, and that's maybe potentially one of the reasons why that game was so exclusive for long. I do wonder what will happen with The Last Night. Apparently, he did say on Twitter that the game has some sort of exclusivity with Xbox. So, I don't know. The game does look pretty cool. So, somebody wanted to know where I stand in Injustice. Am I Team Batman or Team Superman? Team Batman forever. Come on,
Superman,
dude.
I'm going to go on record right now. Superman sucks.
Superman sucks. Ooh, those are some fighting words.
He's such a boring, boring hero. He's like boring Goku.
But I will say, Superman who's a villain is really interesting, and that's what he is in the Injustice story. He's a bad guy. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What's the name of evil Superman?
Bizarro Superman?
Bizarro Superman. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So that's
way more interesting. Evil Superman.
Yeah. Evil Superman's way better, but Batman's just the best. So
Dystopia Superman.
Yeah. So I want to thank everybody for, you know, showing up to the podcast today. First one in 2019. We had a whole bunch of people here, like over 420 watching at one point. Make sure if you enjoyed the show to hit the like button. And if it was your first time here, consider subscribing to the channel. And that little bell right there next to the subscribe button is a notification. You hit that and then you'll get notified every time I drop a new video or we do a podcast. I want to thank everybody who, you know, super chatted and supported the channel. Appreciate that, especially in January, because January sucks for YouTube. Make sure you guys also follow Jez on Twitter. His link is in the description. Jez, you got anything going on in the upcoming days?
No, nothing super interesting. Well, actually, tell a lie. We do have like a ton of Matt Brown, who writes for me on Windows Central, who's recently been promoted to full-time staff. Congratulations to Matt. He's been flying around nonstop doing previews. So like soon we've got a Rage 2 preview coming to the site, an interview with the Rage 2 guys. He's also been up to Ubisoft for a preview. He's also previewing Metro Exodus for us soon. So like if you're interested in like what are essentially close to final builds for some of these games, you know, we'll have previews up of those in the next few weeks. Other than that, I'm just going to be on Twitter talking nonsense as per usual.
That's right. So thank you guys for watching live. Thanks to you guys watching later on iTunes and Google Play. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. I'm sure there'll be lots to talk about. Anyways, guys, have a good one, and we'll see you next week.
Take care, party people.